So Marco, Selena, and Aaron, I have a little quiz for you. It's very short. It's one question long. You got it, Marcos? You think you can do it? So in a little bit, I'm going to ask you six different questions. Do you remember what you're going to respond to, what you're going to say when I say those six questions? What are you going to say? I do. Good. Now I'm going to ask your older brother to see why you were saying I do. Do you remember what questions I'm going to ask, or what I'm asking three times, and then three times that you're going to say I do to? And we're going to ask you to renounce sin and Satan and all his works. And if you believe in God, right? Believe in God the Father, God his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, right? That those words are important, right? It's important that we say I do and that we mean it, that we're professing that we don't want to be on the side of the devil and his works, but instead that we believe that God created us, that he desires to redeem us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that he's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can do that here in the world. Right? So those are six very big I do's. I think you guys can do it. I trust you. You'll do great. But it's interesting because, I don't know if you've noticed, but the godparents actually speak more Spanish than they do English. So if you didn't understand a little part in there, that's because I was speaking Spanish to them and not English. But in Spanish, anytime you do a baptism, you don't just get to say I do, right? Because that seems kind of weak to me. I don't know. Sometimes English makes me angry. It's like, oh, I do, sure. Whatever you said, Father, I'll do that. But in Spanish, you actually have to repeat what the priest says. Right? You see, si renuncio. Yes, I renounce Satan. Yes, I renounce all of his works. And yes, I renounce all evil. And then if I say, do you believe in God the Father, creator of everything? You say, si creo. Yes, I believe. That you actually have to express in your words what we want to be in our hearts, right? Because that baptism that they'll receive, and for Aaron, confirmation, that's the sign that God has actually claimed us for himself, that we no longer belong to the kingdom of the devil. We no longer have to have sin have authority over us, because our words reveal what is going on in our hearts. That it's not just an exterior thing, that if we say the right thing, we get rewarded or punished by God. But instead, it reveals what's going on interiorly. The things that are visible or the things that we hear show what's going on inside. I think that's why Jesus, in today's gospel, concludes by saying it is from the fullness of the heart that the mouth speaks. Because all the examples before that were all very visible things. Right, he talks about having the wooden beam in your own eye before taking the splinter out of your brother's eye. About a good tree bearing good fruit and a bad tree bearing bad fruit. Right, all things that we should be able to tell what's going on kind of from the outside. And a blind person shouldn't lead another blind person, because or else they'll just fall into a pit. I think what Jesus is getting at in today's gospel is not only that our actions reveal what's going on in our heart, but that for him and from the perspective of God, it's really not about punishing us or rewarding us for the things that we do. But instead, it's about seeing what those choices we make, how that reveals our heart. Because ultimately, our words are the first choice that we get to make. We may not think about that very often, but nobody can force you to say anything. They might coerce you. They might talk you into it. They might incentivize you to say certain things. But your words are your choice. That you can freely choose to be guided by anger and jealousy and spirit of gossip. Or you can choose to be led by a spirit of generosity and understanding and kindness. That we can choose to trust in the things of the world that help us seek revenge or allow our frustration to show. Or we can say, no, I want to be led by the love of Christ. To find a way to have mercy and generosity for those around me. That actually our words often reveal which thing is actually guiding us. If we're being guided by that faith in Jesus Christ that they'll profess before their baptism, or if we've slid back into following the lies and deceptions of the devil. That those words and our actions start to reveal where our heart is. And I think Jesus very intentionally uses this image of a tree, because for the Jews in the first century, that would, I think, immediately remind them of the first psalm in the book of Psalms. book of Psalms that was basically their book of prayer that they would have them memorized and recite them frequently throughout the week. That the first psalm speaks of a tree planted beside running water. And the tree planted beside running water doesn't have to fear anything. It's not worried about the outside circumstances, whether there's rain and sunshine, or whether it's cloudy, or whether there's a drought. Because the tree has a source of life. It's connected to that flowing water that can help it get through any circumstance. But the evil one is the one that's not planted beside running water. Evil one relies on things to be there right away, and as soon as they dry up, as soon as there's a little drought or circumstance that's not so favorable, their faith dries up in an instant. So Jesus is saying he wants his disciples to be firmly rooted in his love, rooted in that grace of Christ, that flowing stream, so that they can bear good fruit, so that they're not pushed around by the circumstances of their life. They don't see things just as a reward or a punishment, but instead, regardless of what happens, they can find the grace of Christ in the midst of that. I believe that's why St. Paul in our second reading can say with great confidence that death has no victory. He says, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where is your victory, O death?" And we could think that maybe that's just because he knows Jesus resurrected from the dead, and so he says, "Great, everything will be all peachy keen wonderful. Thank you, Jesus." But I think it's a little bit deeper for St. Paul, because he goes on to say, "The sting of death is sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That if we find ourselves in sin, if we find ourselves trusting in those things of the world, being guided by jealousy and anger and frustration, well, then death does have a sting. Then our hearts find themselves in a place that's separated from God. That ultimately, if death comes at that moment, that means that we're permanently separated from him. But if we're being guided by the love of Christ, if we're a tree firmly planted next to the running water of his grace, then we have nothing to fear. For death is simply the transition into a deeper and fuller union with God our Father. That it has no sting because we're not just waiting around for the reward of our good behavior. We're not just thinking that, well, I suffered enough like Jesus on the cross here on earth, so that means I get to go to heaven afterwards. Instead, we see, God, I've experienced the victory of Christ over sin and death in my life. I've seen times that I've chosen not to give in to the temptations of the devil and turn to those evil things. Instead, I have consistently chosen to follow you, to seek your will regardless of the circumstances that come about, regardless of the good or bad that result because of it. And so I have no fear for death because I know that I will follow you wherever you lead me, even after that. And for St. Paul, and I think from the perspective of God, then heaven and hell are not about a reward and a punishment, but instead they're just an extension of this earthly life. That if we've really experienced his victory over sin and death, if we've seen and experienced his resurrected life here on earth, then we can have great confidence to continue to receive that, to continue to experience it in heaven. So Marcos and Alina, that's why we rejoice with you and your family today, because you get the first promise of that gift of new life in baptism. But God calls us to continue to grow that grace throughout our lives, to be more firmly planted next to the waters of his grace. And I actually think Lent is always a great opportunity to do that. Because again, Lent isn't just about suffering enough or doing the right things for 40 days so we get some reward at the end of it. But Lent is the time we start to experience turning away from sin, rejecting and renouncing everything that Satan offers us, and instead professing that faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That he will give us what we need and actually show us a new form of life starting here on this earth. Brothers and sisters, as we get ready for the Lenten season to begin in just a few days on Wednesday, let us ask God how we can turn away from sin. Maybe it's a habitual sin you've struggled with for many, many years. Ask the Lord, what can I do? What can I do for prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to reject this sin and instead to choose your grace? Maybe it's that you look and see that from the words I'm speaking from my mouth, my heart is not as pure as I thought it was. Too quickly give in to frustration and anger. Too quickly give in to judgment of coworkers or family members. Maybe I say, Lord, help me to have that control of my tongue so that what comes out shows the goodness in my heart, shows forth your love rather than my weakness. That hopefully whatever it is that we do throughout the 40 days of Lent, we can start to experience that new life of Christ. Can start to see that he can help us to overcome sin and death, and that we can experience his resurrected life here in this world. That having been given new life through him, we can have confidence that death has no power over us. That he has overcome it. He has won the victory. In the beginning today, we can start to experience the resurrected life of his love. That we too can be led to that joy of his kingdom, both here on earth and in heaven.